上，快上，快上。
And welcome to Dice Punks, listeners. This was a wild one, and these peaks are likely to be brief, but hopefully packed with nutrients. So this was Salvation, Blessed Are the Ultraviolent, one of those games that Erica Chappelle sort of made and just like posted to Twitter when it was still called that I just kind of bookmarked. And we were keeping in our pocket for, a kind of one-shot filler slot. And boy, oh boy, this was really amusing. I had a lot of fun.
I was more than amused. This was good. I was like, the system is sort of designed to avoid you trying to create pathos, right? It's like a joke about how a lot of that stuff is kind of pretextual. Mm-hmm. But I had a personal goal to inject some pathos anyway without sort of violating the spirit of the game. And I think we extremely pulled that off.
Yeah, no, it was fascinating to see more or less the three of you and not really me going full like emotional evocative with this, where I was just over here going, yeah, how many weird ways can I kill shit with magic?
Which those were fair, totally within the spirit of the game.
Yeah, it rounded that out for sure. In a very nice way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like that my character felt like a sort of counterbalance.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the bird imagery too.
The British imagery is really good.
Thank you.
All the imagery, I regret really that I never got to fire the shell with all the swans in it.
Oh man, that would have been good.
If ever there were a reason to revisit a system, that's it. I thought it was kind of
I mentioned to Robin in side chat that anytime Kane fired a bird from the shotgun, I would take a feather from it and add it to my collection.
That's very good. I was going to say, I thought the way you were stepped back a bit was kind of great, you know, given the fact that your character's crime was being Ace. Cause it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, it felt emotionally like, you know, I don't know, when you're in that teenage KEWL cool thing and there's something everyone's stoked about that you can't participate in, right? That like weird alienated, You're still welcome, but you're not all the way there kind of feeling. I thought it felt like
that was one of the things that I was sort of going for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Also just, you know, the entertaining if Ace folks riff on it of Aces are all wizards.
I've never heard that trope. I found it to be true in my life, but
like my geeking out about the birdness aside of your character, I really liked the concept and the kind of like disembodied hands and all the different flourishes and the mask.
That was sort of an evolution over the course of the session. It's just like the first time I had one of the hands and I didn't specify it as my or our, it was just the hand. I was like, oh, these are props. This whole thing is props, as revealed with the like spreading of the wings and the all there is are pinpoints of light, and that explains why we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate the mystery and the flavor of your character. You know, especially as we kind of saw a little bit more about what's behind this initial kind of feather facade.
Totally. No, and again, it felt authentic to the system in like a sideways way that I hadn't thought. We all thought of it in super different ways, right? Where I was like, I got a gun that shoots guns, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas you had this like incredibly cool esoteric notion and you rolled with it. That was completely with the spirit of the
game. Basically rolled with, yes, we are visitors to this universe. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very conflict mallet.
Yeah. Well, here behind the paywall, I can drop the joke. This is a system that is specifically kind of evoking the spirit of War Thousand, the tabletop war game, with the setting of their sort of spin-off squad-based game, NECA. And the idea is sort of that as a designer, Erica Chappelle is not very much in the mold of like the dungeon game, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons Pathfinder kind of milieu is one of the criticisms leveled at it is that it is at its core a set of settler colonialist assumptions. You know, there are certain things that it is just okay to kill and mm-hmm. to rob and to take over from. And so this takes the sort of Warhammer thing and the Dungeons and Dragons and its descendants thing and just sort of basically goes, we're going to remove the pretensions from it and we're going to make it so no top to be over that it sort of wraps back around, it sort of wraps back around to being parody. And so if I can I can initiate the chain here, my high for this was seeing how each of our four players took that remit in a different direction, looking at the source material, the rules, the images I linked in chat, and just deciding what all that meant to you and the fact that none of us were congruent in our assumptions. Absolutely yeah. perfect. No notes.
The only low I can think of, because this was mostly all highs, mm-hmm. when we entered mm-hmm. the room where we could not see any foes right away, my very first thought was to take an action to just fire wildly at the ceiling, which, as it turns out, was where the foes were. So I wish I had done that.
That would have been very funny.
But I, you know, there was room for a characterful moment there. I forget exactly what I was doing, but like what I did was cool. But like that would have been a fun moment if mm-hmm. I had followed through.
My low, somewhat selfishly, is that I got so close to 50 dice. I hit 48 dice.
10 million HP planet has left you greedy.
Yeah, my low was...
I mean, Nick did basically watch me, like, look at the rules and go, ah, this is how to min-max these stats.
Milo was definitely balancing my hunger for as many dice as possible with my aversion to mathing and having to remember how many numbers do what and when.
I think that
I was somewhat saved by my secondhand exposure to war games at various points in my life, so I'm familiar with the whole 3-up, 4-up, etc. things.
My high oh, go ahead.
Me first.
I was just going to say that my high for just about any episode is going to be the wonderful characters and characterizations that my fellow punks, bring to the situation. But if it is useful to have a unique high and low, then I feel like my low is that I regret that I didn't have the headspace to integrate more character building during the slaughter. All of my head was on dice and trying to characterize, the killing itself, that I'm just like, how do I work conversation into this? And so that wasn't a very low, because there were some wonderful opportunities to do that after the killing. And I so appreciated as a high just the way FMK really took over the zeitgeist of what we're doing.
My high was the tortured flexibility of that paradigm for living and how it became almost poignant.
Oh yeah.
Actually no, it had active poignancy by the end.
Yeah, my high was that thanks to the skill and talent of the players around me, what started as a gag turned into something that spanned the entire one shot.
Yeah, no, you gave us the theme.
My actual favorite thing in any piece of fiction is when something that starts as a joke or a small detail pays off as like the payoff of the story. So whenever we can make that happen, to me, that's the best.
Also, as an aside, since at least two of our patrons know of my extreme distaste for PvP in role-playing games, I want to thank everyone in all of this for sort of collectively deciding inside chats how this would go and handling it all quite gracefully.
Yeah, I was not really part of those side chats, but even knowing Dez's distaste for it, it seemed like the punches were being planned, so I rolled with them, and I think it turned out really well. So kudos to all my players for that.
The bit of outright PvP at the end was like the most like, I don't know, like emotionally resonant thing we've done in a while.
It was heart wrenching. Like,
yeah, heart wrenching with gunchucks,
right? Which, if anything is going to wrench your heart, I think gunchucks are going to do it.
Pillars of the story: wrenching emotions, gunchucks. That's what we got.
Yeah, yeah, no. Like, if the Traitor Legion had not taken our offering and volunteered beer, it definitely would have been just like, okay, I pull the ceiling down on us.
Since I don't really have a low for this episode, my facetious low is going to be that I didn't have a better device to hand for giving my voice the canonical Space Marine radio distortion than this spherical baking pan, which
I think definitely needs an honorable mention for this app.
Oh, absolutely. But I if I had had like just a disposable pie tin, it would have been perfect. This was a little too rigid and a little too thick to get just that real exact thing in there. But the fact that that is the closest I can come to a low is how delightful this has all been.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is also one last thing that...
Also,
oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add, you know, since I was feeling inspired in anticipation of this upcoming, you know, one shot, and so I thought that it was at least possible mathematically that I could die in the first room, and so I came up with a second character. And so character one was the, you know, reformed pacifist. Character two was going to be a physicist that, you know, was convicted of ultra-murder. which involves some kind of a superposition physics hijinks. And so, you know, he killed somebody, but he killed every version of that person in every timeline.
That's brilliant.
Using physics. So it's just very, you know.
And your third character?
That's right. A great crime, by the way.
Love just for the for those listeners who pay for the privilege of knowing these things?
Yes, well, the third character was going to have a kind of rhyme scheme with the first insofar as it was also going to be religious, but more youth pastor vibes. you know, so that the savior is like, you know who also gets angry sometimes and thinks the world is shit? The savior.
Aww,
let me tell you more about him. You know, pulls out a guitar and starts strumming. So
I'm a little sorry we didn't get to meet those two other guys. I actually, when you said that, I like sketched out a backup character real quick who was going to be in the Inferno for copyright infringement.
That's great.
for maximum impact trademark.
Ooh, that would have been better. Yeah.
Mine would have tanked an otherwise solid social media platform.
I didn't have a backup character. I was just going to roll with this until all of my feathers fell off.
Yeah, no, that worked. I mean, it turned out to work well.
I kind of designed mine to die early and that didn't happen. So yay.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things where like, I feel like I have learned a lot about this system in playing it. And I think one of the things that I would do next time, not that, like I said, I didn't really have a low this time. I didn't think that anything here was really like lackluster, but in terms of the ramp up, giving you a large number of weak enemies to start off with amps you up a lot, which it turned out to be great for our purposes here because it lets you show off the pyrotechnics, as it were.
I think that was a tactical miscalculation in terms of a versus sense. Mm-hmm. But it worked very well for the structure here.
Well, I learned pretty quickly how that was going to go and how I could select things that would reduce the kill by pools. And so it turned out to be just fine. If we were to do this again in some regard, not that I think we'll repeat this in the podcast necessarily. I mean, unless a bunch of people sign up for Patreon and want it. But, you know, it would, you could get a different curve to the thing by adjusting the number and type of enemies a little bit more.
You gave us a lot more enemies throughout, and I think that was related to our being four instead of the stated maximum of three.
Right, yeah. And I think that just having stiffer opposition up front, such that it was taxing but didn't give you quite as many kill dies going into the early rooms, would actually probably have served a little bit better in terms not of the quality of this episode, because I think it was essentially flawless from my perspective.
Yeah, no, this episode will be magnificent.
But in terms of like you know, a challenge curve in a version of this that wanted such a thing.
Yeah, no, I think the like high volume of empty is sort of a reprieve type room. Mm-hmm.
They're food, in a very real sense.
Well, we are coming to a pretty late point in the evening, especially for our Eastern time zone folks. So if there are any last thoughts or comments, I'd love to hear them. But otherwise, we may wrap this one up a little bit expediently.
Last thought. Hopefully this is not the last episode that you appear in, Nick, because that would make the whole dying thing real fucking awkward.
Oh, don't
put that on us. That is the thing about Ultra Murder, is if you die in this game, you die in real life.
Yes. No, Nick is no longer with us.
Group.
Oh, Lord.
No, we'll say that it was very appealing, like, to get, like, the fact that the system reflects on all of the settler colonialist logics of RPGs, but does it in a way that absolutely refuses to intellectualize it. That was great. I think we hit the tone well. So, yeah, you covered it. I just wanted to yes and that, because we dove into other highs.
It was a fun time.
It was a very fun time.
Surprisingly, not our most violent episode, but definitely the one with the most swearing.
Funny enough,
it's up there for most violent.
It's, yeah, top three.
Although a lot of the kills, because of me, I think, were more sort of artistic and conceptual than like we will now rend them limb from limb.
Yeah, I feel like there's a version of your character who was like the mid boss from the Evil Within 2, where you were just like doing murder as art rather than doing art as murder, that would have made this a little bit more.
I mean, in this way, there's a conceptual continuation of Robnet.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I don't, no great loss. This is still definitely like top three, maybe four, depending on how you're rating it.
In terms of sheer body count, it's only rivaled by the ones where we destroyed all life in the universe. But you know, like the huge scale of
we shut down the universe twice. We committed deicide and associated ontological war crimes, and we killed all the gods.
Right, but all of
so it, I think those.
Those things
all
are,
of the gods, but not all of reality. Those, I think, are the higher body count episodes.
Those are bigger violences conceptually, and also just the sheer scale of this one meant that although a lot of beings were dying, it was sometimes less visceral than, you know, tearing one specific cop in half or whatever.
Right. Neck meat.
Right. Neck meat.
Indeed. I set the tone early.
Indeed.
Well, dear patrons, thank you very much for giving us your money and for tuning into this. I know this one's a little on the short side, but hopefully you feel that it was still worth it. Thank you for coming along on our one-shot rides as we gear up for Hardwired Island on the other side of Unknown Armies. I don't know exactly when this one will go into the feed. We're probably actually about to briefly discuss that. But whenever you hear this, we love you.
We do love you. Thank you for giving us money. We will continue to pay you in blood.
We love you. And blessed are the ultra cool, which are all of you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, folks. We do love you. And murder is sometimes an art form and sometimes merely a necessity.
Love for the love god. thanks for the patrons.
What better note to end on?